Well, this Sunday, we're looking at some very interesting calls. And it begins in Genesis, where we have the very famous call of Abram. And then the details of all that that meant afterwards. But we look at this, and there's some extraordinary things in here that, well, are different, I suspect, than most of us. But as we give this quick review, the Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." And obviously the most unusual thing in that isn't that land and people and all that kind of stuff. It's that the Lord said to Abram. And we think of calls, or at least frequently we think of calls, or I think of calls anyway. I probably shouldn't do my thinking for anyone else. But this is what I think of. I think of this kind of a call where God speaks to Abram and says, "You're pretty settled here. Everything's going pretty well. Well, up you go." And we see later on, Abraham left. 75 years old when he left, which is old by any standards. He also has the promise of children and all these other things that are a bit much, I think. But still, the call is what we're thinking of today. And the call was to Abram, an old man, an established old man, to pick up and go to some place that he didn't know just because God told him. And not that God telling you something is irrelevant, but it's certainly unusual. And when we go over to our book of Romans, we see that Abram's call was received by faith. And we'll just sort of park that at the back of our minds, because we sometimes think that Abram was compelled to go, but he wasn't. Any more than when we go to our gospel lesson, then Matthew was compelled. I've often thought this was, must have been quite the scene. So Jesus goes from there, wherever there was, I can't remember. He sees a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. And the tax collector's booth was an unpleasant place to begin with. Tax collectors were collaborating with the Roman oppressor. They were not favored people by any means. The Jews looked at them as traitors, possibly at best. They're routinely persecuted in whatever ways that other people thought they could get away with. And so he's sitting there, and Jesus comes up and talks to him at all, which is unusual to begin with, and then says, "Follow me." And Matthew got up and followed him. I wish I could see that, because I wonder what he did. Did he just get up and leave the money laying there? Did he scoop it into a bag and bring it? I don't know. But the thing that is more important than whatever those details might be, which are just of interest to me and nothing more, is that Jesus came and said, "Follow me," and Matthew got up and followed him. And then later on, we see that Jesus is having dinner at Matthew's house, and a bunch of other tax collectors and sinners are having dinner with him, which offends the religious leaders of the day. They say, "Why does your teacher eat with sinners?" And Jesus goes on to say, among other things, "For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And so our sermon title is called with a question mark. Have we been called? Well, have we been called like Abram was called? And I'm not saying we haven't, because I know people who have had a very clear sense that God was speaking to them about a particular thing, asking them to do a particular thing, to move in a particular direction. Sometimes it's to change careers or pick up a career, whatever it might be. This does happen. But I don't think it's the norm. I don't think it's the norm that people have this sense that God speaks to them in an almost or perhaps even a literal audible way. So are we called? Well, the thing that we need to remember is what Paul adds to the story of Abram to make sure we don't miss the point. That Abram was called, but he responded in faith. Not because he was compelled. And no matter how the call came, he still responded in faith. And when we move forward into, or move at least, I guess it's actually backward in time to the calling of Matthew. Matthew also came in faith, because we don't know what else Jesus said other than "follow me." And I don't think Jesus said anything else. And Matthew somehow had this understanding that when Jesus called him, he needed to follow. But he didn't follow because Jesus said, "Follow me and you'll get great stuff." Jesus tells Peter that they'll, well, at least he'll get something. He'll stop fishing for fish. and start fishing for people. But here we don't see anything. And what we see is that Matthew is connected with God in a way either before he was it's quite possible to have been a righteous person and still be a tax collector, even if no one would believe you. But there was some connection there that Matthew felt as soon as Jesus said, "Follow me," that he followed him and invited him to his house and invited other people in and had enough of a party that it became notorious and people were starting to talk about it. And Jesus says, "I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And so when we think of this whole idea of being called, some of us, particularly when we're younger, are waiting for the same kind of call that Abram had. We're waiting for God to speak to us in a way that's unmistakably divine, and then we'll listen. And there's nothing wrong with wanting one of those. There's nothing wrong with praying for that. And if you get such a call, that's wonderful. And as we can see, Abram being, well, almost as good as dead, apparently, there's no age limit on when this can happen. It can happen to us at any time. But is that the only kind of call that we need? And I don't think so. Because when Jesus says, "For I have not come to call the righteous but sinners," I think what Jesus is saying is that Jesus' call is for everyone. And sometimes that call is that call that we responded to when we were really small. Because Jesus calls us not necessarily to do something dramatic, because dramatic isn't what Jesus is all about. We're never called anywhere in Scripture that I've ever found to go and do something dramatic for God. That the call means something huge, something enormous, something that everyone in the world will know about. We're called to other things. Mercy, not sacrifice. We're called to love God. We're called to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that call is the call that we all get right from the beginning. We've all been called. And the thing is that not only have we been called, but Jesus has then enabled us to hear that call and respond to that call. And in the same way that Abram was able to hear God and then respond to God, so are we. And for some of us, this happened even before we could really, think of anything at all, because it's part of our baptism. That our parents said that we believe that this person, this little human, is called by God because God doesn't want anyone to perish. And our parents made baptismal vows on our behalf. And then, if all things go the way they sort of intended to go, we then ratified that for ourselves. We affirmed it for ourselves in confirmation or at some other point in our lives. But no matter what, Jesus calls us and calls us first. And calls everyone. Because Jesus came not to call the righteous, but sinners. And we're all sinners. That's how we're born. We're born in a fallen world, and one of the drawbacks of that is that we are part of the fallen world, and Jesus calls us out of that. And sometimes it's good for me, and maybe it's good for you, to remember that you were called just as much as Abram was, just as much as Matthew was, or Peter, or any of the others. Paul knocked off his horse and his way to Damascus. All of our calls are as authentic as that, as real as that. Are they as dramatic as that? Possibly not. But the call that we responded to was the exact same call, because the call for all of these people, different in detail, is to follow Jesus. Even in the Old Testament, following God's direction. Trinity was back then too, as we talked about on Trinity Sunday. If we want to use the same language of saying following Jesus, Abraham was following Jesus, because Jesus was present then as well as the Holy Spirit and God. They're all wrapped up. And yes, Abraham had to get up and go somewhere else. Matthew had to leave his tax booth behind. Peter had to leave his boat and his nets behind. Paul had to leave arresting and killing people behind. Maybe some of us didn't have to leave anything behind, at least not that it looked like. We're already living lives in homes where God was honored. It's not that we suddenly were pulled from this depth of sin. I remember one of my friends who had come to a meaningful relationship with God a way that he understood when he was quite young. Some other traditions, we don't baptize babies, we baptize older people. So he hadn't been baptized, but he came to this clear understanding when he was about 4 or 5. Pastor's kid, so it probably didn't hurt him any, that he heard it a lot just at home as well. But he came to the microphone to give testimony when he was about 7, to thank God for saving him from a life of sin. And we all had a bit of a chuckle over that, but it was true. That the life that we have, if we consciously remove ourselves from the power of the Holy Spirit, if we would turn our back on that, the Holy Spirit will let us. And that's what it means to live a life of sin. And this boy was aware that he had turned his back on that. And he'd been saved from that. And that's what we've all been saved from. That's what the call does. It takes us from this one way of living to another way. Unfortunately, the call doesn't come with perfection, or at least it certainly hasn't for me. And the testimony I've heard of other people suggests that it doesn't bring perfection. But what the call does is it creates in us the kind of person who loves the Lord, their God, with all their heart and soul and mind, and their neighbor as themselves. And that's what we're called to. So, are we called? Yes. We've answered that call. We didn't have to get up and move to a land we didn't know. We just had to love the Lord and love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen.